Today on Real Ghost Stories Online, seems like Uncle John moved with them to their new house, even though he had passed away before they moved.
This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
We love hearing your real ghost stories. We love sharing them. So call it in if you've got one, 855-853-4802. You can also write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. And if you would like to become a premium subscriber, there's no commercials, advanced episodes, and access to the entire archive. You can sign up through Apple Podcasts. You can also sign up through patreon.com/realghoststories or at ghostpodcast.com. I'm Carol Hughes and Kathy Gordon. How is it going today?
It's going great. I'm excited to be here and hear some good ghost stories tonight.
Well, I've got an interesting little thing. So the other night, I did an interview for the Grave Talks with a gentleman named Rob Guttrow. Okay. He's somebody I came across online, and he had written some books. And I was like, this sounds interesting. And the series I was talking about was a series that he's done, Ghosts on a Medium's Vacation. So he is the medium. So these are ghosts he encounters on vacations.
Interesting.
Right? And it's fascinating to me. It is the most interesting conversation because he's also a meteorologist in real life.
Really?
And so he's a very scientific-based guy. And so a lot of this he describes as energy, and that makes so much sense to me. And so he goes to these different places, and I'm like, well, how hard is it for you to vacation? And he's like, sometimes it's really hard because, you know, like you and I, we go around Ireland and we look at these cool old castles and stuff. This guy encounters the ghosts that are in them. And I'm like, aren't you sometimes just bombarded with that? And he was talking about a jail in Cork, County Cork, that he went to and ran into 8 different ghosts in that one jail. He went to another place where he encountered a woman, and like they kind of speak telepathically.
Okay, and this is in Ireland.
Yeah, and this was in Ireland, the book I had read. He also did one about the Birch Cage Theater in Tombstone, and another book in England about the ghosts that he had encountered. But there was one woman in Scotland, a ghost he had encountered, that she told him this whole story about how her husband had died, and she was kind of there to connect with him. But he's like, but he's not here, you know? And so you've kind of not crossed over because of him, and he has crossed over. Like, she's just kind of constantly looking for him or something.
Mm-hmm.
So it was just a really interesting conversation that really got me thinking about how weird it would be to be able to communicate with spirits and ghosts.
Yeah.
And if you're on vacation, you're just thinking, oh my God, this is going to be fun. Like at one point they went to a mall.
Which you would think, okay.
Right.
I'm free and clear at a mall,
They're just going to get some souvenirs and stuff.
You get an Orange Julius, you know, and go to Spencer's or whatever.
And I don't know if they had those in Ireland, but it was, you know, your basic mall, Orange Julius. And so he's like, all of a sudden he was getting overwhelmed with like, there's all these spirits around him in this, and he couldn't breathe. And he said it was like smoke, and he couldn't breathe, and he's kind of panicking, and finally gets out of there. And they were with a tour guide, or later, I can't remember exactly if they were with the tour guide and they said, hey, we're running in here. I don't remember how that worked exactly. But anyway, somebody told him that in 1971, where that mall had been built, there was a fire, and like 30 some people had died in that fire.
Oh.
And that's what he was experiencing. And he had no way of knowing that. But, you know, then he's like, I can't breathe. You know, it felt like my lungs were filled with smoke.
Mm-hmm.
And another really strange thing that he said, that with a lot of these ghosts that he encounters, I kind of likened it to a calling card. But, you know, it's like, hey, here I am. Here's how I died. And he gets the sensation of how they died first, which would be pretty horrific. And I said, isn't there a better way?
It's a little
way?
Bit like the sixth sense where, you know, you get the clues about how they died.
Yeah. And so he said, like in Tombstone, he walked into, I think it was a hotel they were staying at. And all of a sudden, he got this pain in his neck, and he said it was like he couldn't breathe, and he's grabbing his neck. Then he feels something on the back of his head that felt warm, like liquid, and then he's like, is this blood?
He got shot in the head?
Yeah, that's what he felt. That's what it felt like. And so somebody comes running over, are you okay? You know, because I even asked him, when do you know it's paranormal versus call 911? Because yeah. I think there would be a fine line sometimes. It's like, am I having a heart attack or did they have a heart attack? I don't know. But he said, as somebody came over and he finally got it together and he was like, look, I'm a medium and sometimes weird things happen to me, but I walked in here and I felt like I got shot in my neck and I couldn't breathe. And this woman looked at him very strangely and she said, well, supposedly there's a ghost here of this man who was gambling and I think they thought he was cheating or something and they shot him in the neck in that same area where that happened to him. So I'm like, I don't know if I could handle being him, you know, because sometimes don't you just want to go on vacation and have a nice little vacation?
Yeah, most definitely. And you can't ever get away from that.
So it's real interesting. So that one, that episode, you can listen to it. It's called Ghosts on a Medium's Vacation. And then he and I are talking again because we became kind of like best friends. But
oh, good.
Yeah. But we're talking again. He also does pet readings from pets that passed on.
Oh.
And so we're going to talk about that. So he's written some books on that.
Does he need to like hold the collar of the pet or how does he get the...
I don't know. So we haven't had that conversation. That one's in like 2 weeks.
Okay.
So I'm really excited.
I would like him to do
a
Rosie reading.
Yeah.
And gosh, a Shiloh reading would be good too. Yeah.
I think what he's got to say about animals, I'm going to be fascinated by. Just how he communicates with them and what happens to their spirits. So I don't know exactly how all of that one works with the pets, but I'm going to find out.
Yeah.
I'm really looking forward to that.
Yeah, and then let us know.
Absolutely. So I'm excited about that. Super, super nice guy. So let's go to our first story today. It says, this is the one about Uncle John. It says, first off, I'd like to say that I have been binge listening to your podcast for a few weeks now, and I absolutely enjoy it. The story I'm going to share today is about an experience I had as a kid. I'm 21 years old now, but this experience feels like it just occurred yesterday. To give you a little background on my story, during the early part of my childhood, my family lived in a house that we inherited from my great aunt and uncle after they had both passed away. We kept the majority of the furniture they left in the house as they were beautiful antiques. We moved out of that house early on, probably when I was in third grade, to a newer home across the city. It was beautiful. We brought all of our furniture with us, including the antiques. Fast forward to one night, my other great aunt was staying over in our new home. She lived next door to us at our previous home, from which we had just moved. And the next morning, my aunt woke up and everything seemed fine until she cut her visit short. We thought maybe she was mad at us and decided to leave early because of that. She refused to come back and visit us and we didn't know why. Kind of reminds me of our mom.
Well, yes.
Oh, anyways. A couple of months after that, my friend was staying over at my house. My room was at the front of the house. My brother's room was across the house and up the stairs. We didn't have enough blankets and pillows in my room, so we decided to head up to my brother's to grab more. As we were walking through the kitchen of our home, my brother was in front, my friend was in the middle, and I was at the back. My mother's door to her room, which was adjacent to the kitchen on the right-hand side, was open, and I could see relatively well from the reflection of the TV screen. I noticed my brother and friend began to walk a little faster. At that exact same moment, something to the left of me caught my eye. I quickly turned to see what it was, and I saw a shadow figure of a man standing about 2 feet away from me. He was a little bit taller than me, but he was solid black. I noticed he was wearing a long coat, like a trench coat and boots. The bottom of his trench coat was waving as if there was a breeze going through the kitchen. He had no face, only white eyes, and at the time, I thought they looked like light shining off of glasses. He was wearing a top hat on his head, and I sat there and observed this figure for a few seconds and got freaked out. I ran quickly and caught up with my brother and my friend. He describes him so in depth, though.
Yeah.
Like, you can tell he really did get a look at him.
Mm-hmm.
A few days later, I told my mom about what I had seen, and she was alarmed and immediately asked me if I was sure what I saw. I told her the description was accurate. Then she told me that what I had described was my Uncle John, who was known for his glossy eyes. That's interesting. I've never heard of anyone known for glossy eyes. He was the one who owned our previous house and the antique furniture before we did. My mom told me my other great aunt, who never returned to our house after our visit, had seen the same figure poking its head into my room one night. She saw its face and was the one who recognized it as my great uncle John. That's why she never came back to stay with us. Later on, I found out my brother, who is a skeptic, had seen a black mass walking up and down the stairs to his room. My mom later told me she had seen it walking around our antique dining table as well. But more compelling, my mom later told me that when she was home alone doing laundry, she would hear the machine stop and then would find them both open mid-cycle. Mind you, these are top-loading machines and not front-loading machines. It's interesting to me because our laundry room was adjacent to the kitchen, but on the left-hand side. I had seen this figure standing in front of the laundry room door. We believed the spirit to be that of my great Uncle John, who I never met as he passed away before I was born. We believed that he was attached to the antique furniture. We have since moved from that house and brought that furniture with us. I have not seen that apparition ever since. I was listening to a podcast about a shadow man who people called the Hat Man, who fits the description of what I saw. I was curious as to what you guys believe. I have people in my family saying that they believe it was the ghost of my great uncle, but yet what I saw that night is exactly what other people across the country had seen when they describe encounters with the Hat Man. Do shadow people take forms of our relatives, or do our relatives become shadow people? I hope to hear my story on your podcast. If not, I will still continue to binge listen to your show. Wishing you the best, Antonio. You know, and he's right. I have heard so many stories about a shadow person with like a top hat on and a long coat. I've heard that story repeatedly.
And when he described him, I did not get a huge sense that there was a lot of facial features. It was mostly the eyes, right?
Right.
And so I don't know what would make them think that was Uncle John necessarily.
Well, I think what they thought was because the mom had seen something, but the aunt saw something and she said it was Uncle John.
Yeah, but
so then they see something and assume it's Uncle John. What if Uncle John is there, but they've got some random shadow man in there too?
True.
You know, maybe the shadow man came with one of the other antiques. Or maybe the other great aunt was so freaked out that she took off and was like, it's Uncle John. And that's enough of that. But something made her think that it was him. But it, like for him, like all he really saw was glossy eyes. And
yeah.
He described it as, let me see.
Kind of a trench coat, dark. You
but
know,
it said, yeah, he had no face, only white eyes, and I thought they looked like light shining off of glasses. So he didn't even really see any face at all, so he can't say that's Uncle John.
Right.
And then, I don't know how anyone's known for his glossy eyes, But
you know, now the aunt says she saw Uncle John. So maybe she did see Uncle John. But like you said, that doesn't mean this figure that he saw was.
Yeah. And when you have a house full of antiques, yeah, Uncle mm-hmm. John could be there, but so could any number of attachments.
Right.
So I wonder if there's just two different things going on, or it's all one thing, and the great aunt was just so freaked out by seeing it, and she's like, oh, Uncle John, I'm out of here, mm-hmm. never coming back. Maybe she didn't like Uncle John.
Or maybe she just, thought it, you know, saw a vague outline of something, kind of maybe it looked a little like him, this outline of it, you know, or something to that effect. But I'm not completely sure it was Uncle John.
And I think that because the aunt said that, then everybody mm-hmm. assumes we're seeing Uncle John. Because mm-hmm. she put that thought out there.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I don't know. I never have stepped foot into that house. But I'm going with there's more than one thing going on in that house.
I think I'm with you on that.
Or there's no Uncle John and it's a random shadow person. Okay, here is our next caller.
Hi, my name is Caitlin. I'm from Virginia. And I just wanted to talk about my very first ghost experience. It was when I was like 4 or 5 years old. I lived in Chesapeake at the time. And I was playing in my bedroom. And out of nowhere, like my dad's friend, he came up to me. He was like, hey, is your dad home? But before I continue with this, the backstory of my dad's friend and him was, my dad's friend name was Sean, and he killed himself when they were both 15 years old, a freshman in high school. But my dad never talked about this story. And so I'm sitting here, I'm playing in my room, and his friend Sean came up and was like, hi, is your dad home? I'd like to speak to him. And I was like, yeah, like, let me go get him. So I walked from my room to the kitchen, and I was like, hey, dad, your friend's here. And before, like, I gave him a chance to be like, oh, what friend or anything, I asked him, I said, did it hurt? He's like, did what hurt? I was like, when he shot himself. And my dad, he freaked out because he never talked about this story. It happened to him when he was 15 years old. It was his best friend ever. Like, it traumatized him. So, like, he never brought it up. And he was so scared. Like, he just sent me back to my room. He said, go to your room and I'll be back in there. And he called my mom. I heard him on the phone, like, I'm freaking out. I don't talk about this. How does she know about him? She's asking, did it hurt? Like, he was so scared. And I guess my mom told him to bring me photos because he walked in my room with 3 photos. And he said, point to the boy I had seen. And I'd point to this boy named Sean. And I was like, it was him. He was trying to see you. And my dad was like, Katie, he died when he was 15. I haven't spoke about him. Like, what did he look like? And that's when I broke down. Like, he was very young. He looked scared. He just wanted to talk to you, basically, is what he was saying. And he just brushed it off, and he never brought it up again. But, like, to this day, I will never forget the very first time I realized I could see ghosts, because that was a very traumatic for 4 or 5 year old to just see that. And throughout my whole life, I've just, on top of everything, on top of everything, on top of everything, I just see ghosts everywhere. Every house I live in is always haunted. And I think I take it as a gift. It's nothing to be scared of. Embrace it. They're not going to hurt you. It's okay. But basically, that's all I wanted to say. Thank you so much.
You know, that's funny she'd say that, because the other day when I was talking to Rob Guttrow, I'm like, isn't it ever kind of scary to encounter all these people? And he's like, they were just people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's kind of what she's saying. It's like, they're just people. There's nothing to be afraid of. But then you hear these really scary stories, and I'm like, well, that's something to be afraid of.
Just lots of thoughts running through my mind about this story, and I completely believe her. You know, I think she probably has what she, you know, she feels like is a gift, that, you know, she sees, you know, dead people. And But the only thing in the story that made me pause was when she told her dad she saw him, and then he said, go back to your room. I would be like, I wouldn't go back to the, I wouldn't send my kid back to the room where I thought that a ghost was. You know, I was like, what? He sent her back there?
Maybe he was just being a dad, and that just came out automatically. Go back to your room, like not even.
Go back to your room, and then I need to call mom and lose it for a minute here, you know, or something. Because like, don't send her back there. What are you doing?
But I think I would kind of lose it for a minute if my kid had told me that.
Yeah, well, it sounds like he did.
Yeah,
you know,
I totally get that. He probably wasn't thinking at all. Just go to your room.
Go to your room.
I gotta call your mom. Oh my god.
Go back to the room where the ghost is.
That's so interesting, though. I was just talking about Rob and seeing dead people and communicating with them, and she does the same thing. I just think that would be really difficult. And most people I've ever talked to that have that ability, they've kind of tried to work on ways to turn it off and not always be so open to it. But I don't know if you could do that.
If it's possible.
Yeah. I mean, I think there would be some tools probably you could use to help you with that. I don't know what they are. I don't have that issue. But it seems like there would be some ways you could kind of dial it back, maybe. But I don't know. I just think if it wants to get through and it realizes that you're someone that it can get through to, I think it'd be pretty hard to stop that.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know that I want that superpower. Mm. But when you listen to her talk, she has such a good attitude. Like, she sounds strong enough.
Totally
she
does.
Sounds strong enough to be able to handle
something
like that.
I hope she'll call back and tell us some of the other stories.
I do, too. I thought that one was really, really interesting.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see. I think I've got one more short one. It says, I live in Maine. I'm 30 years old, and all my life I've had a fascination with the supernatural, but I haven't been exposed to much of it, if any at all. Still, I love hearing stories, seeing credible evidence, and I'm open to having a non-harmful experience. I like that. This past summer, something happened that I would love you guys' two cents on. I work overnights, so on the weekends, even with napping, I still get pretty tired early on in the night if I'm not doing something outside of lazing about or watching TV. Crawling into bed and falling asleep is very easy for me on these nights. This night was no exception. And when it came to the early tiredness, I retired to my bed to sleep. As I was laying there closing my eyes, doing some daydreaming / fantasizing about myself being in cool Hollywood-like plots before I drifted off, I suddenly noticed something.
That's so funny.
I have crappy vision and require glasses, so from the fog of darkness and blurry vision, I started to notice a face. It was coming towards me from about 2 or 3 feet away as it was slowly revealing itself as if starting transparent and becoming fuller. It wasn't a scary face. The more I saw the features, it became clear it was a female face with pleasant features and long black hair. It came closer and closer and was literally right in front of my nose, and it moved from nothing to very close in a matter of a few seconds. She wasn't scary looking and had a nice smile to her, and I have to admit, it sort of had a comforting feel to it, like something of a girlfriend or a romantic friend. Being single for most of my years, it was a welcoming aura, but at the same time, that whole time, it was very unsettling. Of course, seeing a face come right up to you like that out of thin air as you're lying down, staring at the ceiling is going to scare anybody, and I'm no exception. She was a nice face to be confronted with, but at the same time, it was creepy, and it got me more and more spooked the closer she got. I snapped out of it, laid there on my bed, collected my thoughts, and drifted to sleep again, brushing it off. How do these people do that? How do you do that and then brush it off? I was going to leave it at that, but my dentist, who is perceptive to spirits, told me that it could have been a spirit maybe briefly revealing itself to me. Ever since then, I've been curious about it, and it dawned on me that it might be of interest to you on the program. So what do you guys think? Sleepy, dazed, brain playing tricks on me, or did my veil slightly lift enough for a passing encounter? The house I live in, to my knowledge, isn't especially haunted, but hey, the paranormal doesn't really have a strict code of conduct, so maybe it had a glitch in the matrix.
That is true. You know, so we say true. That all the time. Yeah. It's like, it doesn't have to follow the same rules that we do. Like, where are we getting that, you know?
That glitch in the matrix is a perfect way to say that.
Yeah.
Let's see. Keep up the great work. You guys rock. That's from Joshua. You know, and it's so hard to say because we weren't seeing it, but it sounds like he definitely saw a face coming towards him. Now, maybe he had kind of fallen to sleep and he didn't realize he was asleep. Maybe it was a dream.
Or that kind of just as you're starting to fall asleep place, you know. But I always say that's the place where spirits often contact you, is in that kind of in between.
And since we can't say we didn't see it, we weren't there, you know, we have to rely on him.
Mm-hmm.
And if he saw, let's just look at the letter for what it was. If he saw a face of a pleasant-looking woman who seemed nice, coming closer and closer and closer
but
and closer
that,
to him.
I'm telling you what, though. Like, this is just me being my normal, like, the bottom's going to fall out at some point person. But when there's a face coming and it seems pleasant, the second it gets close to you, it turns into your worst nightmare.
Don't trust it.
It does like a wah, you know, like that kind of thing. You know it's going to. I just know it's going to. So, you know, I saw Ghostbusters. I saw the library ghost. That's what happens, you know.
Exactly.
It's like, no, you know.
Yeah, and it didn't happen in his case.
It didn't, but I was thinking the whole time, oh my God, this thing is going to go crazy when it gets close to you.
So do you think that he had some kind of paranormal encounter or in a glitch in the matrix because he doesn't think his house is especially haunted? I think he saw what he saw. And if that's what he saw, I don't know how else you explain it.
Unless he just had a dream.
Yeah.
You know,
because if he can rule out dreaming and that's what he saw, then I think he had a paranormal encounter. And I think it was pretty creepy, even though she was pleasant. I'm with you. Don't trust him.
Yeah. Don't trust him.
They'll
explode. Yeah. They will just. Yeah. They'll turn into this creepy thing.
People can be the
all
same
fun and games until they get close.
Maybe he kind of woke up like. Or maybe he kind of snapped out of it right before it was going to turn creepy. I don't know.
I just know it was going to turn creepy. I just know it was.
And it
just doesn't work that way. Nice, pleasant face just hanging around.
No, there's something else going on. So if you have a real ghost story, we would like to hear it. If you want to call it in, the number's 855-853-4802. If you prefer writing it in, do that at realghoststoriesonline.com. If you want to become a premium subscriber with no commercials, advance episodes, and you get the entire archive, sign up today through Apple Podcasts or go to patreon.com/realghoststories or go to ghostpodcast.com. And for all of us here at Real Ghost Stories Online, thanks for listening.